Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 bring out a topic that nobody wants to think about. We're in a series on right and wrong fears. We have learned so far that the fear of man bringeth a snare, or when we are controlled in our actions and decision-making by men and what men think, it'll bring a snare into our lives. That's what we looked at, first of all, in this series. We learned that we can overcome sudden fears in our lives. In the second message I preached in this series, there are sudden fears that come upon us, but God gives us tools and resources to be able to overcome those sudden fears. We've learned that a right fear is to have the fear of the Lord, and we preached on that just 2 weeks ago. And this morning, I want to preach on this thought, death to fear or not to fear. Is death something that a man should fear, or is it something that a man does not have to fear? Jane, a young girl, had this suggestion for the Lord. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you keep the ones you got now? In other words, let's do away with death. You know, fear of death is a real thing. People often fear death. Paul Azinger was a professional golf player and was diagnosed with cancer at age 33. He had just won the PGA Championship and had 10 tournament victories to his credit. He wrote these words when he was diagnosed with cancer. A genuine feeling of fear came over me. I could die from cancer. Then another reality hit me, even harder. I am going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. It is just a question of when. One day, shortly after his diagnosis, Azinger remembered some words he had once heard in a Bible study. We are not in the land of the living, going to the land of the dying. Rather, we are in the land of the dying, going to the land of the living if we're saved. That reality led him to a living hope through faith in Jesus Christ. He later received Christ as Savior, and it changed his experience. The fear of death is a natural fear that men face. It's the unknown that scares you and me. It's not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, or after death, not knowing exactly how that's going to work, that causes men to fear death. We in our minds don't like to dwell on death. It's not a topic that we look to bring up in normal conversation. When was the last time you got with somebody and said, let's talk about death? No, that's not a normal topic of conversation. Oftentimes, the only time we think about death is when we attend a funeral or when we hear of somebody dying or we see somebody in our family pass away. In this passage, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14, it talks about Christ coming and being a partaker of flesh and blood. That means He took on flesh and blood, came to this earth, became a man according to the Scriptures, and the Bible says that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Why would He do that? Why would He come to earth to die? The Bible says that through death, He says He might have victory over Satan. But in verse number 15, I believe the answer is found. It says this, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so this morning I'm preaching a message entitled, Death to Fear or Not to Fear? In this passage, the fear of death brings a person into bondage. It's that thing in the back of their mind that when that topic comes up, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to give thought to it. It's a trembling thought to them. It causes them to be distracted. It consumes them for a period of time. I remember as a young person, before I had settled my salvation, going to bed and having tormenting thoughts of, if I die, what's going to happen? What if I die in my sleep? What's going to happen after that? Maybe you are here and you have faced some thoughts like that in your life, maybe even recently. One reason death is so fearful is that all men will face it.
When death is to be feared, if you're taking notes this morning, point number one, when death is to be feared, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, the Bible states this, "And it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment." That means that it is imminent for all of us, simply meaning that death could happen at any time. This past week, we had a local 18-year-old girl, Elizabeth Cockey, who entered eternity right down here on Route 74 as her car wrapped around a telephone pole. I was in conversation with someone yesterday. They said it took them 6 hours to get the body out of the vehicle. When Elizabeth woke up that day, she had no imagination. She could have never thought that that would be the last day upon this earth. But my friend, it was for her. Because death is an appointment. The Bible says it's certain. It is going to come to all of us. It is going to come maybe at unexpected times. I was reading this week in our paper, and I read about two inmates at York County this week who hung themselves, two ladies in the York County prison that hung themselves, and now they are in eternity. Death happens. It happens all around us. No one misses their appointment with death. There is a physical death the Bible talks about. It is the separation of the physical body from the soul. When somebody dies physically, their body goes into the grave, but their soul lives on forever. Death, I want you to know, comes to the rich and it comes to the poor. It comes to the young and it comes to the old. It comes to the king and it comes to the pauper. The reality of death, my friend, is that you and I are going to face it at some point in time. Every person under the sound of my voice is going to have an appointment with death. It's certain. Preacher, I don't want to hear that. I wish you wouldn't talk like that this morning. I didn't come to hear that kind of news. Yes, but it's the truth from the Scriptures that it's appointed unto man once to die. It doesn't matter if you ignore this fact. It doesn't change the fact that it is appointed unto man once to die. Do you realize in God's original plan, He did not create man to die? Do you realize that if man would have never sinned, we have no implication from the Scripture that man would never die? But death is caused by sin. Physical death that we know is caused by sin. In Hebrews chapter 2, the passage that we just read, in verse number 14, it says that the power of death belonged to the devil. According to the Scriptures, look at verse number 14, the last part of the verse. It says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. What is the Scripture saying? It's saying that Satan's power of death is that Satan lured Adam and Eve to sin, and when they sinned, God had to keep His promise that man would surely die, and as a result, there's death. Turn back your Bibles, in your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 2. And verse number 17. You know, one of the lies of Satan is that you can do what you want and you won't receive any consequences. That's an old lie all the way back to the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 17, God gives them freedom to every tree in the garden. He says, "Enjoy the garden. I've made it for you. It's your home. There's all kinds of trees that you can partake of, except one tree." He says, "But," in verse number 17, "of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Drop down to chapter 3 and verse number 4. Chapter 3 and verse number 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Or in other words, fulfill your lust and nothing will happen to you. Which is the lie of the devil today. And when they did, at the moment that they did, death came into the world, according to the Scriptures. In John chapter 10, verse number 10, we need to understand the thief. We need to understand Satan. We need to understand that while he lies to us about the consequences, it's his desire that the consequences of our sin would come upon us. In John chapter 10, verse number 10, "The thief cometh not, but for to kill, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You see, when Satan tempted Eve that day, it was in his mind death. Because he knew the promise of God. He knew God wouldn't go back on His promise. And so as Adam and Eve sinned against God in the book of Genesis, Satan brought the power of death upon all mankind. You say, preacher, how did it happen to us? Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin," according to the Scriptures. "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The reason that there's physical death today, my friend, is because each and every one of us have sinned. We have sinned at birth. We're created sinners, and we are sinners by choice. We have sinned against the Holy God, and it brings about death. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, it says, "For the wages of sin, what I've earned for my sin, is death." Is death. Death is to be feared not just because of the physical death that we see. There's a much worse death described in the Scriptures as to why death should be feared. Turn over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 48. Death is certain. Death is caused by sin. But physical death is followed by eternal death. You say, preacher, that's an oxymoron. If somebody dies, that's the end. How can it be eternal? Well, the Bible describes it as eternal death. I want you to see what the Scripture says in Mark chapter 9, verse number 42. The Bible says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." That's physical death. If somebody put a millstone around your neck and threw you into the sea, you would drown. That would be physical death. He's saying, as he compares physical death to spiritual death in the next verse, it's better to die physically than it is to die spiritually and face eternal death. Read on in verse number 43. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." That is the spiritual death or the eternal death of Scripture. Listen, it would be better to die just physically than to face spiritual death forever where the fire is never quenched. Drop down to verse number 45. The Bible says, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off." That's painful. "It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." My friend, spiritual death is a real thing. It's when a person dies physically. And as the Bible describes in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man, when he died and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. He just started spiritual death when he died. He started it immediately after he died. And he's still facing it, my friend, today as I preach from this pulpit. He faces eternal death forever and ever. And the fire that he experienced those first minutes in hell as he cried out and he said, "Please send somebody to take the tip of their finger with a little water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." 2,000 years later, my friend, he's still shouting that from hell. It's eternal death that the Bible talks about. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." How long is this fire, my friend? How long is the spiritual, this eternal death that the Bible talks about? It's everlasting, according to verse number 41. In verse number 46 of the same chapter, the Bible says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." It's everlasting. It's described as the second death. While physical death separates the body from the soul, the second death, listen to me carefully this morning, this eternal death that I'm dealing with, separates you from God forever. Forever you're separated from the love of God. Forever you're separated from the forbearance of God. That God would give you a little bit more rope, a little bit more mercy, a few more chances to respond to Him. But when you go into second death, when you die without Jesus Christ and you go to the flames of hell, you lose any second chances. You lose opportunity to experience the long suffering of God. and the grace of God, as was sung about this morning. You lose the opportunity to see the mercies of God that are extended to you every morning. My friend, if you're without Christ this morning, the fact that you're in a church, the fact that you get an opportunity to hear the warning about death is the mercy of God. It's God saying to you, I want you as my child. I'm giving you another chance. But my friend, when you go to hell and you face the second death that the Bible talks about, there's no more of those chances. Revelation chapter 20, the Bible talks about those that are dead. John writes in verse number 11, he says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Which, by the way, my friend, indicates that there are degrees of punishment in hell, I believe. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, when I talk to people and I knock on their doors and I visit with people and I give them the gospel, the question that I ask and the question that many of you ask is this question: "Sir, ma'am, if something were to happen in your life today, are you 100% certain that when you die, you would go to heaven?" And what disturbs me at times is that people take that question so casually, as if it's not really a big deal. I will have many people that will say, "Yeah, I think I'm okay." They have no rhyme or reason why they're okay. If I would ask the question, "Is your name written in the book of life?" that would be probably foreign terminology to them. They have no idea what it means to go to heaven based upon the finished work of Christ. Some will say, "I don't have time to talk." But my friend, this question of eternity, of eternal death, is one that lasts forever. When a person dies, this lasts forever. In Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That second death is separated from God in hell. You'll feel hell. When we study hell in the Scriptures, we study a person that has eyes. As we read about the rich man in Luke 16, verse number 23, it says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. He had taste." That means someone to touch his tongue. "He was tormented," the Bible says. There's weeping in hell. There's gnashing of teeth, indicating that when you go to hell, your body is there, my friend. You say, "Preacher, how can that happen? My body goes into the grave." I want to explain this to you from the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, "And not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell," in verse 29. In verse number 30, it says, "And not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Say, "Preachers, how real is hell going to be?" It's going to be as real as what you can feel and see today. That's how real it's going to be. It's not a figment of the imagination. It's not a place where you're down there as a spirit just wondering what's going on and quaking as to what might happen. You're going to experience the torments of hell, according to the Scripture. Your emotions, you're going to hear people weeping and wailing. They have fingers and they have teeth and they have tongues all pointing to the body. How is that, preacher? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is speaking. He's speaking to believers. But what he's speaking to believers, I believe he's speaking also to unbelievers. I believe the truth that is given here is also applied to unbelievers. It says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, what he's talking about is his body, the house in which he lives, all right, our flesh. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What is he saying? He's saying he's going to get a body that will last forever. And my friend, that's true of a Christian, but you hear me and you hear me well. That is also true of an unbeliever that dies without Jesus Christ. You will not go to hell and burn up and it will all be done in 30 seconds. You will go to hell, you will have a body, and you will experience the torments of hell forever. If you're lost without Christ, then you ought to fear death. And you ought to fear the second death. This is a death to be feared. You say, how's it going to work if I die without Christ, preacher? Can I preach and be straight with you this morning as your friend? You're going to die physically. And that could happen at any moment. Instantly, you will be in hell. And you will be in hell until the great white throne judgment, where death and hell are delivered up and delivers all those up who have died without Christ. And you will stand before an almighty God. And you will hear the words from an almighty God that says, I never knew you. Depart from me into everlasting fire. And you will be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, according to the Scriptures, forever and ever. My friend, if you don't know Christ this morning, that ought to cause you to tremble in your seat. It ought to stir something up in your soul that says, I cannot go another day without knowing Christ as my Savior, without having my sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. I must know Christ as Savior. I must trust Christ. But preacher, how can God, a loving God, send people to hell? Because God in His love and mercy wrote to us forewarning us of this punishment. God is a loving God. He's also a just God. And God in His love warned mankind that because of our sin, unless we take His Son as the payment, as the substitute for our sin by faith and repenting of our sin and turning to Him, we would face the same punishment that He has designed for the devil and His angels. You see, my friend, God doesn't want you to go to hell. If He wanted you to go to hell, He'd never send His Son Jesus to die for your sin and rise again. The truth of the matter is, God wants you to be in heaven with Him. But the choice lies in your hands. What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do about your sin? You going to continue to walk your own way and figure it out and ignore the truth of the Scriptures and believe that physical death is where it all ends and soul sleep like the Jehovah Witnesses would teach and believe a whole bunch of false doctrine that when you get on the other side of death, you'll say, oh my, I should have known. Or will you believe the truth of the Scriptures? Some believe in reincarnation, that you'll come back in another form, but that's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach an eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 22, if you would. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Everybody only wants to look at the goodness of God. And by the way, God is good. And God is loving. And God cares about your soul, according to the Scripture. But look what Romans 11 says. He wrote and he said, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Listen. There's going to be a lot of people in hell who thought God's a loving God and He could never send somebody there. Who only looked at the love of God but never looked at the justice of God. Who never looked at the severity of God according to the Scriptures. Paul writes and he says, listen, yes, look at the goodness of God, but understand there's a severity of God as well. We must understand that. There's a third mention of the second death in Scripture, Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Oh, I'm thankful for this verse. I'm thankful that the Bible says, oh, I don't have to experience the second death. All of us are going to face physical death. That's appointed unto man. That's the curse for sin. But we do not have to face the second death. The late evangelist Adrian Rogers says that if a person is born twice, he dies once. But if he's only born once, he dies twice. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I'm not asking you if you've prayed a prayer in your life. I'm asking you if you've been born again. Say, "Preacher, how do I know that I've been born again?" You have new life. Old things become new. You know Christ. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. You have appetites that begin to grow that are right and godly and in accordance with God's Word. I didn't ask you if you prayed a prayer. I'm asking you this morning, have you been born of God, a second birth, being born again? So death is to be feared. If you're without Christ, it is to be feared. The second point of the message, as I close the message this morning, is death is not to be feared. Death is not to be feared. Those that have been delivered from sin should have no fear of death. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Death? To fear or not to fear? Well, if you're lost without Christ, it's to be feared. But if you're in Christ, my friend, you don't have to fear. Psalm 23, verse number 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Why should a Christian not fear death? Number one, the presence of the Lord is promised right up until the last breath. Here the psalmist says this. He says, "I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That means I'm going to get very close to death. "But I will fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art with me." Now watch this. This is tremendous truth. You're working with somebody that may be dying, or you've been thinking and fearing death a little bit in your own life. I want you to get this truth. God is with you to the last moment that you cross over into death. And then 2 Corinthians 5:8 says this, "To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord." That means He's with you right up to death. And the first breath on the other side, He's there. He's with you all the way through it, my friend. We don't have to fear death because of the presence of the Lord. Notice the words in Psalm 23, "I'll fear no evil." There's no evil that's going to be for the Christian in death. There's no evil because the Lord is with me. He's with me on this side right up to the very end, and He's with me on the other side as I begin in heaven. Romans 14:8 says this, "For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." We belong to the Lord. So, why should we not fear death? Because His presence is promised. Why should we not fear death? The sting is removed. 1 Corinthians 15, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 55. Oh, Satan loved that power. That power that would lead to physical death and then eternal death. The permanent sting that we would face, but not for the believer. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 55. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian cannot go to the grave with sin. That sting is removed. Thank God for victory through Christ. You don't have to fear death because you're not going to be judged for sin. Physical death leads to eternal death for the person that has not dealt with their sins God's way. But when a person has dealt with their sins through the blood of Christ, when they go into death, The sting of death is removed. Why should we not fear death? The presence of the Lord is promised. The sting of death is removed. Number three, the place of heaven is prepared. Revelation 22. Revelation 22 as we finish up here. Verse number one, John. I wish I was John. John got caught up into heaven, got to see the vision of what heaven was like, got to write it down and describe it for all of mankind. He writes it down in chapter 22, verse number 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Boy, you know, we have fruit trees that yield during their season and they're done for 9 months. Here, you're going to be in heaven. You're going to have all these luscious trees around. And it says they yield every month. So they're going to be yielding fruit. And next month comes and they're yielding fruit again. That's what the Bible's saying here. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God in verse number 3, and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. Will be face to face with Christ. And His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Heaven, my friend, is a wonderful place. In my first year here as pastor, I've done 7 funerals. And those are sorrowful times, except for heaven. They're wonderful times. God's prepared that for us. Last thought, why should we not fear death? Because God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life. He's writing in hope of eternal life. That's talking about heaven. And here's the next statement. Which God that cannot lie promised before the world began? So if God's promised heaven, if God says, here's how you can have eternal life, you have it through my Son. 1 John 5, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And you'd say, preacher, I have the Son, I know it. I know I have Christ. God cannot lie. The promise that He's given to you of heaven is a promise that He promised before the world began, and He comes through on. If you're here without Christ, the thought of death and the thought of the second death ought to cause you to shake this morning. It should have ruffled your feathers as an individual. It should have caused you great concern. It may have made you mad at this preacher, but you shouldn't be mad at the preacher this morning. You ought to take God's Word and say, you know what? God has spoken in His Word. And I, by faith, am going to receive what God said. In John 5, 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my Word, that's what I've given to you this morning. We have walked through the Scriptures this morning. And believeth on Him that sent me. You believe on Christ, hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, watch this, from death to life. I believe there may be somebody or a number of somebodies under the sound of my voice this morning. You are living at the position of physical death and spiritual death if you were to die today. But today, after hearing the Word, you can believe on Christ and pass from that position to everlasting life. We have many testimonies in the church, people all over this congregation that know that truth in their life. Do you? I ask you the question just before we go into invitation. If your life were taken today, or like Elizabeth's this coming week, where would you spend eternity? Is death something today that you should be fearing? Or is death something today that you don't have to fear? That question is answered by what you have done about your sin and what you have done with Jesus Christ.